today will play effect throughout history. We are tired of these private Federal Reserve bankers who are running this country and destroying this country from the inside. The tyranny that they committed against you and your family as well. You want to stand here as Americans because we know our founding fathers died for this very right.
I declare this to be an unlawful assembly. I order all those assembled to immediately disperse. You must leave the immediate vicinity. If you remain in this immediate vicinity, you will be in violation of the Pennsylvania Crimes Code, no matter what your purpose is. You must leave. If you do not disperse, you may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It is the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. I'm your host, Dale the Truth, and this is where politics gets extreme. If you want to call in tonight, the numbers, as always, are 858-683-1326. And in the Louisville, Kentucky metro area, 502-805-0334. And today's date is Thursday, May the 9th. And we will go straight to our main opening here, has become our standard, and it is This Week in History. This week in 1861, Arkansas seceded from the Union. And Jefferson Davis declared a state of war between the Confederate States and the oppressive United States. And then this week in 1863, was the sad death of General Stonewall Jackson. This week in 1863, 150 years ago this week. Now, we spent a lot of time last night on the Springsteen show talking about Benghazi. And there's a whole lot of stuff about Benghazi over on the Drudge Report. And there's a whole lot of stuff about Benghazi over on InfoWars and Prison Planet. So what we're going to do tonight is shift over to some other issues that the mainstream also will not discuss. Issues that take balls to discuss. Balls that we know the mainstream media do not have or do not wish to show. Hell, we saw at CBS News, they had one reporter who was starting to show the symptoms of being a gumshoe reporter and an actual journalist, and they told her to back off. They told her she was becoming too much of an advocate. Because now if you're pursuing the truth about what's going on in a huge scandal like Benghazi, you're all of a sudden an advocate because you're pursuing the truth, which is some of the biggest bullshit that I've ever heard. And mentioning some of the biggest bullshit I ever heard, we'll start out tonight with a story about a group that I've warned you about many times, and that's a group called Google. Who else would have a motto called Am I Evil? You know, it was a great Metallica cover back in the day, but Am I Evil? Google. Google this week falsely accused the aforementioned InfoWars and Drudge Report sites of containing malware in their web pages. Now, Google has knowingly committed more hacking and internet crimes than any other institute in history. But mentioning balls, Google has the balls to try to scare people away from alternative media. And how do you scare people away from alternative media? You make them think that the Drudge Report and InfoWars.com have web pages with malicious software, when we know it's not the case. I got from good source from associates over at InfoWars that their IT department had scanned their system and reports that they do not carry content from the supposed malware that the evil Google accused them of having. See, Google is blocking many people's accesses to DrudgeReport.com, and they're claiming that known malware distributor, Equads.com, was inserted into the Drudge webpage, another lie. And they claim that visiting the Drudge Report page is likely to infect your computer with malware. Yet another lie. So malware, of course, is malicious software that causes things like identity theft, financial loss, permanent file deletion, blah, blah, blah. I think you all know this. And again, Google Chrome and Google's little half-assed versions of software protection are telling people that websites like Drudge Report and InfoWars have malware, a complete lie. Another reason I would never use Google Chrome. I've said on these airwaves many times, getting into the technical geek stuff, which I do by daytime, I'll go that route for a moment. I have not used Internet Explorer for years because of all the holes that Swiss cheese-like of a browser has in it. And the same thing can be said for Google Chrome when it comes to spying on you and watching what you're doing. Google loves to keep their eye on you. And I'd rather not have Google watching me. I don't have a Gmail electronic mail address. I don't use Google Chrome. I sure the hell wouldn't buy one of these new Google laptops or small machines that people get online with. So I'm not going to use their software. I'm not going to use their hardware. I'm not going to use their browser. I'm not going to use their search engine. I'm not going to use their email. It is my attempt to avoid Google at all costs. Plenty of great machines out there you can use. Plenty of great browsers out there. We've talked about this. You can use Firefox. Mozilla Firefox is a lot better for you than Google Chrome. And hell, I wish these other people would actually start advertising on the My View Matters Network, because I've given them enough free plugs, and maybe one day. But startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. You see, Google likes to watch what you do. They like to record your IP addresses. They like to make a record of your searches. They like to use identifying and tracking cookies. They like to disallow things like SSL encryption. Whereas StartPage will give you options of free proxy serving, and private experts worldwide will praise them. And they've had a 14-year company track record and a third-party certified, and they don't track your IP address, and they don't keep a record of your searches, and they don't leave cookies on your machines. So maybe a bit of a tangent, but it pisses me off when I get the news this week that Google, who has committed, again, more hacking and internet crimes than any institute in history, are accusing alternative websites, alternative media, of containing malicious software. Anybody remember the news conference last year where White House Secretary Jay Carney was instructing a reporter to be mindful of your sources? Remember this crap? When asked about the Drudge Report and rumors about Mitt Romney? Well, more traffic flowed over to the Drudge Report. And despite the best efforts of the Obama clan and the Democrats to dismiss and attack Drudge and put a dent in the website's popularity, millions of folks use his site daily. I'll go back another one. Back 3 years ago, you had a Senate Committee on Environmental and Public Works sending out an email saying that Drudge's website was, quote, responsible for the many viruses popping up throughout the Senate. Maybe it's all the porn that the senators and their aides watch online all day. I don't know, just saying. But no appreciable drop in viewership ensued at the Drudge Report. Ditto with InfoWars.com. But see, in recent weeks, you have a large number of critics led by horribly spurious reports like the Southern Poverty Law Center's website accusing Alex Jones of InfoWars and Matt Drudge of forming some kind of terror campaign against your computer. But no matter, following these false attacks, millions of people continue to flow to InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.tv or DrudgeReport.com. They'll continue to go there and get their news. They're not going to listen to the crap. So here comes Google Chrome claiming that they're malware distributors. It's a tactic destined to fail. 3 years ago, there was a CNET article about malware back then allegedly being distributed by Drudge Report. Now it actually came from DoubleClick. Want to know who DoubleClick is run by? Yeah, DoubleClick is a subsidiary of Google, which develops and provides internet ad services. It's got customers like, listen to this, Microsoft, General Motors, Motorola, Visa, and Nike. So Google is using their software their email, their search engine, their hardware, their browser to accuse the Drudge Report of malware, when in reality the malware we know comes from people like Google's own little company. We know that the malware is coming from DoubleClick. So, you know, when are we going to hear that large transnational corporations are purveying malware out there? I really don't think you're going to hear that unless you come here to the TNT radio show, where you come here to the My View Matters network. Is it possible Google will put an advertisement on their website saying, hey, avoid this site? No. Google should take a look at its own track record before trying to frighten off visitors. Last year, an FCC document disclosed that Google Street View, remember this? How they were going to photograph streets around the world? Last year, an FCC document said that Google deliberately collected massive amounts of Wi-Fi payload data, and the information was illegally stored at an Oregon storage facility. Google, of course, tried to hide this theft from the public. The data included your telephone numbers, your URLs, your passwords, your emails, your text messages, your medical records, your video and audio files. Don't believe me? Go listen to Wired Magazine. Wired Magazine talked about this last May, 1 year ago right now. Wired Magazine was warning you what Google Street View was doing with its information. You see, Google's got a cozy little relationship with the Intel community, folks. If you go back 2 years, Consumer Watchdog, an advocacy group, asked the chairman of the House Oversight and Reform Committee, Daryl Issa, to investigate Google's relationship with, you guessed it, the NSA and other government spying agencies. The group asked Issa to investigate contracts at several agencies for Google technology and services. And go back a year before that, in 2010, it was reported that Google and the CIA were jointly engaging in real-time surveillance of your internet web activity. At that point, there was a company under Google called Recorded Future, and they were scouring tens of thousands of website histories, blogs, Twitter accounts to find relationships between you and organizations you're involved with, and actions and incidences, get this, both present and to come. So they were trying to get into mind crimes and thought crimes. Remember who started the quote-unquote Arab Spring in the Middle East? The CEO of Google. Maybe their Arab Spring shag will be called the springboard to advance Islam. At any rate, the CEO of Google used Facebook, here we go again, another one of the big watching people, the ones that want to watch you, Facebook. The CEO of Google used Facebook to instigate this springboard of the Arab Spring in Tunisia. Google backed up their CEO, and since then, surprise, surprise, you've had all these little Islamic nations producing some sort of quote-unquote revolt and uprising. You see, Google also owns Twitter and YouTube. And this is where it gets dangerous, because we know a lot of our friends like to use Google, YouTube, Twitter, for trying to get out some of the truth. Just remember, this is what they're going to do. They've been known to prompt searches and alter searches and skew results and de-prompt any searches that might shed a negative light on the government or shed a negative light on Islam. But yet here they format the Arab Spring to maybe weaken opposition to Israel. Maybe that's going to be our tie-in to our story that we teased last night about Al-Qaeda links with Israel. Maybe that'll be the jump. Maybe that's how we'll get into that story. But see, for those who are under 20-something, you may not know this, but back in the 90s, there was a president named Bill Clinton. And many people will try to make you think that Bill Clinton was impeached over oral sex, which he was not. He was impeached over perjury. And yes, it's true, we could impeach a lot of officials on perjury, and we should probably start doing that. I would love to see us impeach a lot of people on perjury, but don't let them tell you that he was impeached over oral sex. That's not the case. He was impeached over perjury, and he didn't have enough common decency to resign, which, you know, not unlike most politicians, he didn't have the courage to resign. It kind of reminds me, this whole Benghazi thing has drawn us back to things like Watergate. Hillary Clinton, who my good Senator Rand Paul aptly described as a woman who should never be allowed to hold any elected position ever, based on her activity in Benghazi, her fingerprints are all over this damn thing. Hillary Clinton, back during Watergate, was a young aspiring attorney. And she said, we need to know what the president knew and when he knew it and what he knew and what he was doing with it. And now, when she's questioned on Benghazi, she says, what does it matter? She sits there, and we know she's the one that has the balls in that family. She says, what does it matter? Well, back in the 90s, kids, for those of you under 20-something, Bill Clinton was the president of the United States, and he and his cohorts mandated that operating systems, an operating system on your computer is like Windows, they mandated that operating systems and computers have back doors. Now, since you were too young to know, you think you can stop this with a good browser selection. But that's not true, kids. Maybe some think even going Linux makes a difference, and it doesn't hurt. Many of the mandated changes of security that were put in place were because the government had decided they need a way in. They need a way into your computer. You have a chip on any motherboard sold in the U.S. that provides access to your machine. If you don't know this, you're way behind the curve. See, a modern computer is a system within systems. You can have a malicious network card that will then use its direct memory access to inject code into the running system. Now, there are Thunderbolt devices out there that can mount such an attack, same for FireWire. It's even possible to have malicious memory. But we don't see a lot of that stuff in the wild for several reasons. These type of attacks are very system-specific, as they require much effort for little coverage. And people like updating all their data to the cloud so they can just turn it over to whoever, which I think is still foolish. As cheap as drives are, as cheap as zip drives are, and USB drives and thumb drives and whatever you want to call it, why the hell would you want to trust any multi-corporate conglomerates with all your information in the cloud? You really got to wake up, folks, to what you're doing on the internet. I mean, it's a vehicle. We're not telling you not to use the internet, but we're telling you to be careful. We're telling you not to use things like Google Chrome when there's Mozilla Firefox out there and there's Safari and Opera out there. We're telling you not to use things like Google Search Engine when there's Start Page out there. And why use your Google Gmail when you can go to something like LavaSoft? And if you don't know about LavaSoft, again, I feel like I'm doing the Kim Commando show here on software and hardware. But if you don't know about LavaSoft, LavaSoft basically is a program that will give you free email without having to worry about all the malware and spyware and people monitoring your email. So now that we got that computer lesson out of the way, we will make that slight transition to the story that we did tease. And that's the story of Israel and Al-Qaeda working together against Syria. I know everybody thinks that I'm crazy when I talk about Israel and Al-Qaeda working together against Syria. But that's why I have to tell you, do the research. I'm begging you not to believe me. I'm begging you to go out there and do the research. Again, go and do a start page search. Or if you like Google watching you, do a Google search. And you'll find that there is a big coordinated effort between Israel and Al-Qaeda militants. I'm going to read what Paul Joseph Watson wrote this week. Israel's airstrike on Syria was timed to precede an Al-Qaeda-led rebel offensive against Bashar al-Assad forces, according to intelligence sources. underscoring once again how jihadists are doing the dirty work of the very powers that they claim to oppose. Sources told WABC that Israel's air force in Syria today is coordinated with Turkey, which in turn coordinated rebel attacks throughout Syria to coincide with Israeli strike. I know it sounds like something out of the Twilight Zone, and the Syrian rebels maybe weren't given advance knowledge of the Israeli attack, but they were specifically told by Israel when to launch new offensives in order to take advantage of the airstrike, which killed at least 100 Syrian army troops. You see, in the weeks preceding the airstrikes, the Syrian army had scored notable victories against FSA rebels, but the Israeli offensive greased the skids for militants to use, quote, access roads to advance toward Damascus, unquote, where they launched heavy clashes with Syrian military officials throughout the country, including in Damascus, Daraya City in the countryside, and the villages of Homs, Al-Kamaya, Tunaba, and Manay in the countryside. So, as we teased yesterday, Israel and the United States routinely rely on Al-Qaeda to destabilize their enemies in the region. Not only has Israel supported Al-Qaeda rebels in Syria, but back 11 years ago, if you want to look this up, go back to the BBC. I can even give you links. Where 11 years ago, Israel was caught actually creating an Al-Qaeda group in order to justify attacks in the Gaza Strip. And the United States and Israel have also armed and funded Al-Qaeda affiliate groups in Iran to carry out bombings and assassinations for years. And this is why I was talking about last night on the Springsteen show, when the government admits that we're hiring Al-Qaeda groups to back up efforts in Syria, how the hell are you going to trust your government when the same government told you for years and years and a decade even that they were out to get Al-Qaeda? The same United States government, it doesn't matter Republican or Democrat, the same United States government told you for a decade that the TSA gropes and sexual harassments at the airport were to protect you from Al-Qaeda. And the Patriot Act, it sounds so loving, and it took away so many of your rights and the ability to just white posse comitatus off the history books, that this is all for your protection because we got to protect you from Al-Qaeda. Yes, the same Al-Qaeda that the United States government helped create, the same Al-Qaeda that they admit, even Fox News on their website, they won't say it on their television station, but even Fox News on their website admits that the same Al-Qaeda that is backing him up in Syria, and yes, the same Al-Qaeda that was funded by Israel to carry out bombings. You see, NATO powers openly armed and funded the Al-Qaeda-affiliated Libyan Islamic Fighting Group to take out Gaddafi in 2011. It was also recently revealed that the State Department hired Al-Qaeda-linked militants to defend this diplomatic mission in Benghazi that was later attacked. So if you think that Barack Obama is somehow a global head of Al-Qaeda, maybe there's a little bit more connecting those dots than you previously thought. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you can get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants. Well, he gets. I don't like it.
Look at your women crying, look at your young men dying, the way they've always done before. Look at at the fear we're feeding. Look at the lives we're leading, the way we've always done before.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We think you can handle the truth, and we're glad to have you here at the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. We're here five nights a week. Sunday night, the first night of the week for many, is the Liberty Unbridled Show here on the My View Matters Network, and it's getting a little bit more of a push, and it gets more publicity and advertising than my show, but that's okay because we're trying to get its ratings up to those of my own, and it's no offense. I'm not offended by that. We want to get some more listens for Ken's show. We love Ken. He's a very liberty oriented guy, so it's getting a little bit more of a push on the network than we are, but that's okay. On Monday nights and Tuesday nights, you have the Ed Springsteen Show with Mr. Springsteen and Mr. Ed Martin. We come back in here on Wednesday nights with Mr. Springsteen, and then we're here again tonight, Thursday night, with the TNT Radio Show. 5 nights a week on the My View Matters Radio Network.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters Radio Show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
We thank you, Mr. Springsteen. And we've been talking about some of the crap going on again between Al-Qaeda and the United States government. And, of course, our government likes to think it's headquartered in D.C., the District of Criminals. And like I said, we like to talk about stories that maybe nobody else is talking about. And one of those stories we want to talk about, we're less than 2 months away from an organized gun rights march in Washington, D.C. And you see, protests on the 4th of July in Washington, D.C. are not really anything new. They're a dime a dozen. But the one planned this year comes with a twist. The participants are pledging to carry loaded weapons with them, loaded rifles. You may or may not know the history of one Mr. Adam Kokesh. Adam Kokesh is a libertarian talk show host of his own, and he's inviting protesters to join him in what he refers to as an open carry march on Washington, D.C. And Kokesh is an Iraqi war veteran and an outspoken opponent of U.S. wars. He's had a complicated relationship with the military. You see, March of 2007, Kokesh attended an anti-war protest wearing his Army Reserve uniform. And then less than 2 weeks later, he had gotten an email saying he was now under investigation for misconduct for wearing his uniform at a political event. And, of course, his reply got him an additional misconduct charge for the use of expletives. So much for freedom of speech, right? And after that, Kokesh has made a habit of organizing others against constitutional issues, or I should say in favor of constitutional issues that your government disagrees with. And the open carry march on Washington, which you maybe have not heard of anywhere else before here, the open carry march on Washington, D.C. Independence Day weekend is hoping and pretty close to making this happen, bringing at least 10,000 protesters who would like to say they would rather die on their feet than live on their knees. And it's kind of like one of our songs that we play here as bumper music, because I'd rather die than be your slave. I'd rather die than be your slave is a popular song on our show that was put out by Poker Face. Of course, tonight we opened up with one of our favorites, and that was, we came back from a break, of course, with Guns N' Roses' version of Civil War, but we opened up the show with Don't Tread on Me. And again, would you rather die on your feet than live on your knees? That's the proposal of the Open Carry March on Washington, and they're claiming that they're going to march with rifles loaded and slung across their backs to put the government on notice if they will not be intimidated and cower in submission to tyranny. They say it will be a nonviolent event unless the government chooses to make it violent. Should we meet physical resistance, we will peacefully turn back, having shown that free people are not welcome in Washington, and return with the resolve that politicians, bureaucrats, and enforcers of the federal government should not be welcome in the land of the free. So Adam Kokesh has not applied for a permit to protest before, seeing the act of demonstrating without permission as an act of civil disobedience. It's kind of like, do you really have a right to do something, folks? If you have to get a damn permit to do it? No. Are you free or are you a slave? This is what I ask people every week on this show. We know hundreds of people are listening every week, live or via archives. Are you a slave or are you a free man? It's like I said, why the hell do we have these DMVs where at the end of this month, they'll tell me I better come down and pay their big school taxes for the government indoctrination camps. I better pay the fire department taxes. I better pay the local city and government taxes. And then, of course, the sheep will say, well, don't you want to have good roads? Bah. Don't you want to have good schools? Bah. The sheep will put out their same old mating call for big government. They're out there wanting to basically have coitus with the government because they think the government's going to take care of them after they have sex with them. But if you have to get a permit to do something, are you really free to do it? And the thing about Washington, D.C.'s laws is that a permit is required if the protest in D.C. is going to have more than 25 people. See, they're scared of big groups. They don't want you to get together in big groups. See, police must allow permitless marches as long as the demonstrators remain in one lane also. But they must allow unpermitted protests of less than 100 people on sidewalks. There's all these stupid rules. To hold a demonstration on a national mall in Washington, D.C., organizers are supposed to contact the National Park Service. And then you pay a payment of $50 unless the protest is determined to be a First Amendment action. So you apply for your little permit, and your government, that you have money taken from at force and under threat of violence, will decide if yours is a First Amendment activity. And see, even if the open carry march that Mr. Kokesh is proposing does obtain a permit, demonstrators could still find themselves in trouble with the law. You see, Washington, D.C. Police Chief Kathy Lanier says that if you come and open carry in Washington, D.C., you're going to be violating their gun laws. It's a violation of the law, and we have to treat it as such. So we have a potential showdown that your mainstream media refuses to cover. We have a potential showdown Independence Day weekend between up to a number up to including or of above 10,000 open carry activists in direct conflict with your jackbooted thugs. And this police chief in the District of Columbia, Kathy Lanier, says that they will arrest these up to 10,000 people who violate the district's gun laws. So I'm looking forward to this showdown. Because Washington, D.C. doesn't want you to have a gun anywhere. You're only allowed to purchase handguns if you keep them in your home. Carrying a loaded weapon of any type is against D.C. law. Now, Kokesh says it's taking off and going viral, and he's excited to do something meaningful for people on Independence Day. Everybody else is going to be doing like the least patriotic thing possible, sitting on their asses, having cookouts, and saying, oh, this is America. All these dollars we're spending, and all these men and women that we send to die in these other countries, they're protecting our freedoms. Really? Are they really protecting your freedoms? What freedoms do you have on the line in Iraq? What freedoms do you have on the line in Syria? What freedoms do you have on the line even in Afghanistan? How about the stories where even Geraldo Rivera, over there with that damn mustache on Fox News, even had to admit several years back that our military, our Marine Corps, were helping protect the poppy field, the opium trade in Afghanistan? Is that protecting you? See, a lot of people think that, oh, this group just wants confrontation and anger. You're not really forwarding liberty. And that's absolutely garbage. Every gun owner should understand your rights Stop telling them that there's limits to your freedoms. Stop letting them tell you that your freedoms only go as far as their jurisdiction or their imaginary lines in the sand or their gun laws. You see, you're doing the same thing over and over and over, and you're expecting different results. It's stupid. You keep electing the same Democrats and Republicans over and over and over, and you're expecting them to change. You keep reelecting them to all their big pensions and all their big orgies in office. You keep reelecting them to their big cash funds and their big political action committees that are treating them like the whores that they are. And I guess where I really get angry is when I hear people talk about, well, we just need term limits. Because some of my best friends are all up on the term limits thing. Number one, friends, we have term limits already. They're called elections. But the same people who won't get off their ass and do anything that's really civilly disobedient on Independence Day are the same people who do whatever the government tells them, and the same people who keep reelecting the same old sons of bitches to office. So if you can't get the people either off their asses to vote for an alternative, or if you can't get the people to stay away from the uniparty, that is the Democrat and Republican, same fake left-right side of the paradigm, if you can't get the people to reject that stupid one-party rule, that stupid single-party vote at the top of their ballot, if these people can't be expected to do that, then why do you think the politicians they elect are going to police themselves? Why do you think if you won't send them home, re-election numbers are always 85, 90, 95% at the worst. If 90-some percent on the low end of politicians continue to get re-elected, because you won't vote them out of office, then why the hell do you think they're going to fix the problem when you won't do it? I just want you to think about that. Yeah, term limits, that's great. Get the politicians to do what we want them to do. See, my thing is, I'm glad that we have people voted in from Kentucky like Thomas Massey and like Senator Rand Paul. While other states will like people like the Kennedys and the Pelosis and the Harry Reids and the Bush family down in Texas. But you get the government that you deserve, folks. You vote them in, but you don't have the balls to vote them out. And that's what Adam Kokesh's march is about, trying to stand up to the establishment when so many people are afraid of the establishment. And we got one more story tonight that I'm pretty damn sure you're not hearing about on other shows. And we'll stay with the trend tonight about getting rid of your independence. Independence Day marches we're talking about. Do you remember when Mitt Romney had his cute little debates with President Obama? And he charged that Obama has not signed one new free trade agreement in the last 4 years, and he would reverse that. Well, he was only partly wrong about that. Obama had not signed any new trade agreements. But what he did, and I'm now borrowing from a story put out by William Jasper over at the fine publication called TheNewAmerican.com, what Obama did, as this article leads, was he won congressional approval for, he signed trade agreements with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea, Freudian slip there, that had been negotiated by the Bush administration. Moreover, he had continued the efforts of the Clinton and the Bush administrations to create this Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, and the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, TTIP. And these should be of special concern to Americans, although you probably have never heard of these acronyms before. But they should be of special concern because these agreements admit that they drive the United States into regional governance on a host of issues. You see, the architects of TTP and TTIP were virtually unanimous in their head-over-heels praise of the European Union. You see how wonderful that experiment's turned out, that clusterfuck. The once sovereign nations of Europe have been tricked, bribed, raped, and browbeaten into yielding control over every aspect of their lives. Very few people have fought back, like Iceland and Ireland, against the corporate elites and the globalist banksters. But the national governments are becoming more administrative units of the tyrannical globalist government. And see, if you go back a decade, then Soviet dictator, well, I guess he was already a man without a country, a rebel without a country at that point, Mikhail Gorbachev, he referred to the European Union as the new European Soviet. He's not being critical. He was praising it. He was offering a startlingly candid observation of the European Union, which remains true. A one-worlder, Mr. Gorbachev. He was excited for expanding the EU into a common European utopia. And that leads us right back to the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, secretly trading away our independence. You see, we always heard about Obamacare. You had nationalizing the auto industry. You had the bailout of the banksters and various and other sundry little socialist nostrums that takes all of Obama's attention. But see, if the dear leader Obama and his administration failed to move fast enough and far enough for pushing new trade agreements during the first term to suit the fanatical globalist folks, there's good reason to believe the White House, with no repercussions, complete lame duck, will now move forward, will now move at rapid speed, putting this on the front burner. Three months ago, in his televised State of the Union address, Obama said, and I quote, "To boost exports, support American jobs, and level the playing field, we intend to complete negotiations on a Trans-Pacific Partnership. And tonight I'm announcing we will launch talks on a Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, all of the European Union, because trade that is fair and free will support all these good-paying American jobs." How many people heard anybody bitching about this on the neocon talking heads 3 months ago? See, the tagline, millions of good-paying American jobs, that was the cue line for all the sheep to go, "Obama, Obama," and applaud loudly. That little catchphrase, "American jobs, oh yeah, we're going to give you jobs." And that made the people go crazy. That made the sheep go wild. But on the day after his State of the Union, Obama joined European Council President Herman Van Rompuy and European Commission President José Manuel Barroso in saying that we are pleased to announce the United States and the European Union will each initiate the internal procedures necessary to launch the beginning of the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership. You see, with tariffs on trades between the U.S. and the European Union averaging just 4%, critics say, why is it so urgent to put this on the fast track? If it's only a trade pact, why are the negotiators including climate change, sustainable development, smart growth, homeland security, regulatory harmonization, and a pact of other ridiculous issues in the agreement? The answer is because the TTIP has been crafted specifically to bring about U.S. and EU integration in the same manner. In the same manner as Europe has been turned into a complete cesspool. Secretary Christopher, over 17 years ago, Secretary Christopher, who was serving as Secretary of State to Clinton and a foreign policy advisor to Obama, said the objective long-term is to integrate North America and Europe, consistent with the principles of this New World Order, this World Trade Organization. He said, we will align our efforts to promote transatlantic integration. And the bottom line, folks, the TPN's U.S. honorary head for many years was Robert S. Strauss. The same Robert Strauss of the CFR, the Council of Foreign Relations. Remember good old Lee Hamilton from Indiana, good old Hoosier Lee Hamilton? He was a veteran CFR member. He was a veteran member of the Council of Foreign Relations, and he was a co-chairman of the TPN in the 90s. What does it all mean today, folks? What it all means today is there are plenty of revealing admissions, benign objectives of this TPP-TTIP lobby. On the same day, 3 months ago, when President Obama was giving a State of the Union address, the Council on Foreign Relations was hosting a panel on the G20 Prospect for Global Governance, which featured Stuart Patrick and Anne Marie Slaughter of Princeton University. Among the noteworthy comments were those by Ian Bremmer. The EU is much more significant now. There's a real subversion of sovereignty by the EU that works. And the panelists all applauded loudly. They agreed that the EU had been successful because it was subverting sovereignty. And folks, President Obama is now calling on Congress to provide him the TPA fast track, with the announced intention of passing the Trans-Pacific Partnership during the Christmas recess at the end of this year. You know how they love to push stuff through at Christmas time when nobody's paying attention. An imposing lineup of corporate banking and union lobbyists are just jumping on this trade bandwagon again. The same held true when George Herbert Walker Bush was pushing through things like NAFTA with Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush was pushing the sovereignty-destroying free trade area of the Americas and the NAFTA superhighway down America's throats. But an awakened and energized patriot coalition shot down the NAFTA superhighway. The same forces need to organize now to shoot down this trans-Pacific and transatlantic so-called partnerships. The challenge is out there, folks. Do you want to sit on your ass and say, this is America and the troops are protecting me and I got to believe what PMSNBC or Fox News tell me or NPR or Clear Channel? Stop listening to the bullshit. Start being a free person. Again, would you rather live on your feet or die on your knees? You see, that's the reverse. Because what they say, would you rather live on your knees or die on your feet? And that's the point. Are you going to stand for something? Are you going to fall for everything they push down the corridor? Anytime you see them come up with a story, oh, look, three young women released from their capture over a decade, they're taking your attention away from bigger stories. Like Benghazi, and like the civil war going on within the Republican Party, where they eat their own if you dare stand up for liberty. And like these transcontinental orders that they were trying to push down our throats. None of it is out in the open, folks. You got to go find it. You can call it a conspiracy, or you can do your own research. But at the end of the day, what are you going to tell your children when they come to you and say, Daddy, tell me what liberty was like. Tell me what it was like to actually have freedom in this country. Tell me what it was like before the gulag came for mommy and brother and sister. Tell me what it was like when you had free speech and gun rights in this country. Are you going to tell them, oh, what's the big deal, like Hillary Clinton said? Are you going to tell them, son, I stood up toe-to-toe to these folks. I stood up for freedom. I stood up for liberty. I stood up for sovereignty. I stood up for truth and justice. And I told them, death to your new world order.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!